page number 81.
Sound very enthusiastic. I mean, the sun's actually shining. Beautiful day. And so enjoy it while you can, because I'm afraid it's not going to last very long. We'll get some more of that. I don't know about y'all, but I think I wish we could store some of this rain for August. We were rained out, flooded out, and everything else at work all week just about. So it was one of those weeks, but it was a good week, though. Let's see, a lot of stuff going on right now, coming up. School's about to let out. I got up this morning, Gene, and I looked, and we're going to the baccalaureate for Jessaville. My youngest nephew graduates this year, Jeffrey, and my wife had a purple shirt laid out for me. I'm not sure, but I think she's trying to get me beat up when I got over there this afternoon.
We're converting her.
There you go. Well, we pray for the graduates and all those that are graduating high school and also college as well. So keep them in your prayers. You know, do y'all really realize how fortunate we are to have two good schools in our area, Jessaville and Fountain Lake? A lot of people don't have one. We have two good schools, so I'm very thankful for that. And others scattered around. I know there's other schools a little further out, and we appreciate that. But we'll be going to that here in a little bit. Let's see. We got some announcements to make, and then I've got a thing or two to say. But first of all, let me just say that my understanding is that Brother Ed and Sister Levita would like to host a cookout for the adult morning class. Date to be announced. So if y'all come to Sunday school of a morning, you're invited. If you don't come to Sunday school of a morning, you might ought to come so you can go to the cookout. Did I say that? Anyway, the date will be announced.
Can
yes, sir.
Change classes.
Well, Sounds like now we may have to have a cookout for our class so we can keep us. But it'll be fun. So date to be coming. Y'all can look forward to that. I think it's always good for classes to get together. It grows bonds. It helps us to get to know each other more, and it draws us closer together. So we appreciate that very much. Okay. Now, when's school is soon to be out? When's the... Okay. It's not very long. So here's something that's coming up that's not on your list. In the summer, on Wednesday nights, instead of doing our regular Bible study, we switch over and do Bible stories for the kids. Stay out here, and then they go out there and have a little bit of ice cream and stuff instead of like it is now. Gives our kids a little break. Gives our teachers a break from the Wednesday night program. So keep that in mind. That'll be coming up. I said that now to say this. We have decided that we're going to start when we get done with our Sunday night and Wednesday night study here in class, Ephesians and Romans. We're going to start in on a Bible study in the book of Revelations. Now, we're going to do that on Sunday night and Wednesday night so that it doesn't take 2 years to get through it. When we first came here, we did that on Wednesday night. It took us about a year and a half to get through it. I don't get no big hurry. It's a good study, though, so I encourage you to plan on coming to that. Pray about it. Study. I'm currently studying Daniel so that I can understand maybe some of the prophecies a little better, so I encourage you to plan on coming. It's a commitment. But we'll start that right after our summer break, okay? So when the kids and everybody starts going back to class again, we'll start that. It gives us a little bit of time to prepare, but I don't know about you, but I need a little bit of time to prepare for that study. So I'm looking forward to it, though, okay? All right, other announcements then. Stuff that's in the bulletin. Today will be our building fund offering. So the second time that the plate is passed will be for the building fund. The building fund does a lot of things, repairs, remodels, the new sound system. We just recently did an awning out here, and we're going to have where you can now get under there to get out in the rain, be pouring a slab out there before too awful long. I told y'all last Sunday to start, I wish you would anyway, to start praying with me about maybe a new kitchen out here so that we can have a multifunction building. So, and we can do that in stages if God's willing, if you're willing. So there's things coming up that I know of, and there may be some other things. So that's what the building fund offering is for. Keep that in mind the second time plate comes around. Now, this evening will be our business meeting. So, if you really want to know what's going on here, come to the business meeting. We talk about a lot of different things, so we invite you to that. If you're a member here, you really need to come and be a part of it. Sunday, May the 19th, I will be out of town. So Brother Flynn Cattell will be filling in. Please pray for Brother Flynn as he prepares to come. This morning, nursery attendants are Cindy and Jerry. Next Sunday will be Sam and Donna Johnson. Did I miss any announcements? Bow with me for prayer, please. Our fathers, we come to you at this time. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for this beautiful sunshiny day that you've blessed us with. Lord, it's always sunny in your house. Thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us. Lord, as we proceed in this service today, just help us that we would always give you the honor and the glory that you so rightly deserve. Thank you for the sacrifices that you made for us. Bless this offering, Lord, and guide us in the use of it that we might further your kingdom here on this earth until we all come together in the presence of Jesus. Keep us safe. And Lord, we pray for those that have asked prayer requests, those that have ongoing problems, Lord, we just pray that your healing hand be upon them. Thank you in advance for answered prayers. Thank you for Jesus on the cross, raised Savior. In his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Page 199.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and clash to be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the rolling storm and thunder, I'll be there.
Good to see everybody out. Brother Dean, good to see you this morning, too.
Amen.
He's looking pretty good, ain't he?
Yes, he is.
He's dressing up with some of the finest around here. good to see everybody out this morning. Love to look out there and see those smiling faces.
Amen.
It's just a blessing to me to be here. I just don't think there's any better place you could be.
No, that's right.
Than right here in God's house at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church. It's a great day in the Lord. We're going to sing a song for you this morning we've done before, an old, old song entitled Standing by the River. I hope you enjoy it.
Here I stand beside this chilly water.
With my friends and loved ones, with my friends and loved ones who've gone before.
have to say that I understand now why, we have kids when we're young. We had a couple of the grandbabies Friday night, and intended to go to the singing down at Center Hill last night, and we were just so worn out we couldn't get up. Hardly. We just wanted to crash out on the couch, and I wish I just had a little bit of their energy. And then Miss Caroline, she's so sweet, but she didn't want to sleep, and so she was up till midnight and then up early that morning. And so I'm sorry, Gene and Dwight. We wanted to come, so maybe we can make the next one. Don't ever pass up an opportunity to have those grandbabies, though. They're a lot of fun. So it's good to be here this morning. I'm so happy to be here. I'm glad you're here. I wish that, always wish that those that are traveling or sick and unable to be here could be here. Till we all come back together, though, they're in our prayers. In the last few weeks, we've talked a lot around Easter before Easter, we talked about the crucifixion of Jesus. And then our Easter Sunday events was focused on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I love speaking about that because we do serve a risen Savior. And He did choose to give Himself for us there on the cross. Last Sunday, we talked about our glorified body that we're going to get when Jesus comes back. People love to hear sermons like that because it gives us hope of a brighter tomorrow. I love preaching about that. This morning, though, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that people don't talk about a whole lot. We want to leave it out if we're not careful. We're going to talk just a little bit about hell. Heaven is real. Title of a movie, I don't care what the movie says, heaven is real because that's where my Savior lives. But just as real as heaven is, hell is just that real. Our culture that we live in is so politically correct, we don't want to talk about hell because, you know, I've heard people say, well, my God that I serve wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, guess what? He won't send you there, but you choose to go there. And we're going to talk about it just a little bit. It's neglected by pastors that are afraid to get up and preach about hell. They're afraid they'll offend someone. Well, I got news for you, friend. Whenever I got saved, part of the reason that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior is because I came to the realization that if I died, I was going to go to hell and spend eternity separated from God, and it scared me. And whenever I accepted Jesus Christ, and I've had no fear of dying since then, everybody wants to talk about heaven. Nobody wants to talk about hell. Let me just say this. About a year and a half ago, something like that, I attempted to preach a sermon on heaven series, and it was a good series, I thought. I learned a lot about what heaven is now and what it's going to be in the future, but also in that series, we had to preach a sermon about hell. Before I get too deep into it, I want you to realize that everything that we know now is temporary, okay? When this body dies, this spirit either goes to heaven or hell, whichever choice you've made, that's a temporary holding place. One of these days, eternity begins, okay? For those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to get a glorified body, and we're going to spend it with Him. We talked about that last week. For those of us who reject Jesus Christ and His shed blood, unlike what a lot of people want to tell you, your personage, body, some type, I don't know exactly what, lives on. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, okay? You can't have one without the other. You just can't. Pastor, friend of mine, his daughter was here during that series, and he called me afterwards. She just happened to be here that morning that I had the hell sermon. He called me, and he said that she came home telling him that besides him, I was the only preacher she had ever heard preach about hell. That's sad. That's sad. She was raised in church. She was faithfully attending church, and she still is. And to make a statement like that tells me that pastors, preachers are neglecting part of the truths of God's word by not preaching about hell. One writer I've read, and I'm sorry, but I can't remember his name right off, says that for every one person who thinks he or she is going to hell, 120 believe they're going to heaven. Startling when we read what God says about that. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in Matthew 7. We're going to read just a little out of Luke 16, and then we're going to Revelation 20. Now, I want you to know this morning, temporary here, we are eternal beings because of the breath of life being breathed into us by God when we were created. You will never go away. You just get to choose where you go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says this very plainly. Jesus speaking, if you have a red letter Bible, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Remember what the writer said? For every one person that thought they were going to hell, 120 believe they're going to heaven. The scripture says, Jesus says, that it is a straight and narrow way that gets you unto life or into the presence of God, and few there be that find it. So God himself, Jesus Christ, said that many people are missing the mark in choosing their eternal destination. Few there be that find it. You know, y'all know, if you've heard me preach much, and most all of you have, that I love John 14:6, and it's Jesus, and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Brother Gene sings the song that I want him to sing at my funeral someday. It's the blood. You're not going to get into the presence of God except you be covered by the blood of Jesus. Contrary to what the world would have you believe and what a lot of so-called preachers are out there preaching today, there's not many ways to get to God. There's only one. It's a narrow path. But everyone has opportunity because of what God did. Why is it so narrow of a path? Is it because that heaven isn't big enough? No, it's not that. Heaven's always been plenty big enough for everyone because God made that for those that believe. And he made it big enough for all men because Jesus Christ died on the cross so that all might be saved. Okay? It's because of the way that we have to go to get there. Jesus dying on the cross. And he died on the cross for everyone who's ever been conceived, because life does start at conception. So why is there a hell? Why is there a hell? Well, in Matthew chapter 25, we're told, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, hell wasn't created for you and I because God has always wanted us to be in his presence. Hell was created for Satan and his followers because they chose not to obey God. If you go to hell instead of heaven, it will be because you have chosen to reject Jesus Christ, God's way. Now, I've heard people say various things that disturb me over the years. One of the things that I've heard more than one person say is that they want to go to hell because that's where their friends are. What a saying. What a sad statement that is. I want you to know something this morning, wherever you might be here in this sermon. I want you to hear this. If you go to hell, you will have no friends. Choose life where there will be many friends. No friends in hell, only torture and torment. How do you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us very plainly, and it gives us one account over in Luke 16. I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not going to read it all, but if you want to flip over there, I'm going to read one scripture out of that. But there was a fellow by the name of Lazarus, and there was a fellow by the name of, I don't know, but he was a rich fellow, and he dwelled in a big fine house and had plenty. Lazarus was sick and lay at the gate, begging crumbs just so he could survive. Something happened to both of those fellows. Same thing is going to happen to everyone in this room if Jesus don't come back first. They both died. The money, the fame didn't keep the rich fellow from dying. And the sickness didn't cause Lazarus to die. It's just part of life and death. They died. They both woke up after death. You see, contrary to what some think, there is life after death. But they woke up in two drastically different places. Lazarus woke up in Abraham's bosom, peace and contentment, joy and happiness, and the rich man. In verse 23, Jesus is telling this story. It says, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Now, I've heard people say that, oh, this is just a story, it's not real. I got news for you, friend. This is as real as it gets. That when the rich man opened his eyes, he was in hell, separated from God, in torment. And he had a conscious being, and he knew where he was at, and he could feel the pain, and he could see where Lazarus was. And he wanted to go there. He didn't want to be where he was at when he got there. He wanted to go be where Lazarus was, but it was too late because the choice was already made. You see, we choose. While we're alive and well on this earth, where we spend eternity, and there is two very distinct choices. You can either choose God's way and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, spend eternity with Him, or you can reject God's way and say, "I'm going to get there my own way," and wind up in hell with the rich man. Now, when we study in Revelations here coming up later on, we're going to see that there are two judgments. I want you to know that in the Great Commission over in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He will judge at both judgments. The judgment seat of Christ, that's where the saved people will be. When you get there, you will not be evaluated to see whether you make it into heaven or not. When you get there, Jesus already knows that you're supposed to be there, and you're going to be judged by His blood and deeds. And He's going to vouch for us to God, and we get to go into eternity with Him. The great white throne judgment is where the lost are going to be. And here's what I know about that. Jesus Christ is going to preside over that judgment as well. And the Bible says that the books were opened and another book, which is the book of life. And those names that are not written in the book of life, we're going to read that here in a minute. But here's what's going to happen. At the judgment seat of Christ, the people that have rejected Jesus Christ are going to stand before Jesus in judgment. And he is going to open the books, which are the books of the Bible, and the book, which is the book of life. And he's going to judge you by God's word and the way that you live this life. And let me tell you something, friend. No one can live good enough to please God. And that's why they had the law. It was to show us. The law was never meant to save anyone. The law of Moses, it was always meant to show us that we can't live good enough and that God had to pay the price. All the sacrifices back then were just a picture of what was coming. So if you're standing there at the judgment, a great white throne judgment, your destiny is sealed, whether you know it or not. God, Jesus is going to open the books and he's going to say, well, I see here that you stole something, lied to someone, whatever the case may be. Oh, and by the way, the book says that if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of them all. Well, I didn't sin very big. Sin is sin in God's eyes. There's going to be those there that say, well, didn't we prophesy in your name and didn't we do these and great wonders? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Praise be to God, I don't have to go to that judgment. I'm going to have plenty to answer for, but it's all covered through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you stand before Jesus at the great white throne, your destiny is sealed as well. He's going to cast you into hell, the eternal place. Well, there's a difference between what we have now and what we have then. At the end of the tribulation period, at the end of the thousand-year rule and reign of Christ here on this earth, that's when the judgment of the great white throne judgment is going to happen. And if you go over to Revelation chapter 20, I want to start reading in verse 10. This is after the judgment. This is right before the judgment. I'll get it right here in a second. Pardon me. Verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them, all those people there coming out of the thousand-year rule and reign, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, we say here that we study God's word one word at a time because all words are important. I want you to know this morning that when it comes that time, that Satan and his angels are not going to just line up and say, let me jump in there first, because that lake of fire and brimstone is eternal hell. That's where they're going to spend eternity. But then, excuse me, in verse 11, switch gears just a little bit, and it said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, boy, I got a frog that don't want to get out of here right now. Sorry. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? Do you remember that a man came together and they built this big tower and it went up and up and up until God put a stop to it. Preached a sermon on that a few times in my short little time of preaching, but I want you to know that the problem with the Tower of Babel was that men were trying to get to heaven their own way. They said, we can build us a tower right up into heaven and we can go to be where God is. Those that stand before Jesus at the great white throne are essentially saying the same thing. I reject God's plan. I can get to heaven on my own merits. I can live good enough. I'm a pretty good fella. I can live good enough to get there. I don't want to go through the shed blood. I don't want to accept the free gift. I'm going to do it my way. Oh, there's even a song to that, if you remember, if you're old like me. I did it my way. Well, you have that opportunity, but your way is going to fall short. The dead, small and great. Listen, that means rich or poor, smart or dumb, whatever. They stand before God, and the books of the Bible are open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Have you ever read the law of Moses? Can you do it? Well, even if you haven't read it, let me tell you, you can't do it. You cannot please God by works. And look at here in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, why did Jesus have to die on the cross for me? Because I can't live good enough to please God. As no matter how hard I try, I am just a sinner saved by the grace of God through my faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his innocent blood to cover my sins. It doesn't have anything to do with my goodness or badness. None of us are good enough to get there on our own. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, I love the scripture, and it says this very plainly. It says that we are saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Your works won't get you there. If you stand before Jesus at the great white throne, you're going to see that your works will not get you there, but then it's going to be too late. Look what happens after this judgment. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, I know that those people who jokingly maybe to some point say, well, I'm going to go to hell where my friends are not going to be lined up saying, let me jump in there first. They're going to be saying, I don't want to go. I wish I'd have chose differently. They're going to be cast, thrown into this lake of fire, this second death. Look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, we serve a loving, caring, giving, compassionate God. He loved this world so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know what? He gives us the freedom to choose. So choose wisely. Because if you're not one of the whosoevers that's called upon the name of the Lord, you shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You see, I serve a God of love, and He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. You see, salvation to me is free, but it costs God greatly. Do we realize what sending Jesus to die on the cross cost God? I think about Jesus on the cross, and He who knew no sin became sin. He had to come down here out of the presence of God and live on this earth, being born of the Virgin Mary, and didn't sin one time, and wrongfully was accused and beaten and hanged on the cross. Friend, that's love that you and I really can't understand. You see, I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven, and to die is gain for me. I don't think it'd be that hard for me to give my life for you if it allowed you to have a choice to come to heaven. But I'm not sure I love you enough to give you my son. God did. Well, if He loved us that much, preacher, why is He going to cast us into hell? Because He furnished the way, the means. He did all the heavy lifting at great cost to Himself for you to be in His presence. It's a free gift of God, and all you have to do is accept it. But if you don't accept it, there's consequences. You see, unlike the culture that we live in today, where people get participation trophies and no one's a loser, God is not like that. You choose and you live with your choices. Choose wisely. Well, preacher, I feel good. There's things I want to do. I'm going to do that salvation thing sometime later. You just made a choice. You chose to reject Jesus. Yeah, but I'm going to do it later. Well, you're not guaranteed later. You're not guaranteed the next breath. Heart attacks kill people every day. Car crashes kill people every day. You know, on your way home, every car you meet, you're only about 2 feet away from death. Choose wisely, because you will stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. Which judgment will you be at? God paid the price for our sins, and all we have to do is accept that payment. Listen, salvation is free. Salvation is given to all those who come. As the Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? If you haven't, my friend, you are in danger of hell's fire. And if you have, you don't have to worry about anything, because this world can't do anything to you but send you to heaven a little quicker. Praise the Lord for that. Well, preacher, talking about hell, that's kind of a dark subject. Not to me. You know why? Because I've accepted the payment that God made through His Son, Jesus Christ, and so can you. Why? Why has Jesus not come back to get us, preacher? Well, because God is a long-suffering, caring, loving and God, and he would have everyone be saved. But don't kid yourself, friend. One of these days, God's going to have enough of this old world and this sin and the rejecting of his son, Jesus. And he's going to turn over to the right hand on him that sits there, Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, "Son, go bring my children home." And then in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, after that trump sounds, we're going to be raised and given our glorified body if we've accepted him. And if we haven't, trial and persecution and tribulation is on the way. Choose wisely. Choose heaven. Choose Jesus. Amen. Reject Satan. And skip hell. The choice is yours. I thank God that he tells us enough about hell till we know somewhat of what it's going to be like. I think of the rich man when he opened his eyes, he was in torment. I've had people say, "Well, hell's not real, it's just a figure of speech." Let me tell you something, friend. Hell is as real as heaven. And if you go there, you will immediately know that you made the wrong choice. Because like the rich man, you will open your eyes in torment. And it never ceases. Heaven is real and it lasts for eternity. Hell is real and it lasts for eternity. But you, my friend, by the grace of God, have opportunity to choose heaven over hell. I believe that the Spirit has led me to preach this sermon because someone out there struggling with salvation, someone needs to hear that there is consequences to rejecting a true and living, risen Savior. You don't have to suffer those consequences, though, because Jesus died on the cross for you, just like he did for me. If the Spirit's leading you in salvation, if today is the day that the Spirit's leading you to a salvation experience, don't put God off. You're not guaranteed another opportunity. Listen to me, friend. Think about where you're at in your life. Maybe you're saved and you know where you're going. You're going to heaven and not hell. But maybe you're not living like God would have you to live. Well, preacher, I'm still going to heaven. Yeah, I believe that. But here's something else that I know. If we're not living right, we may be leading someone down the wrong path that don't know Jesus. Because our actions still do have consequences. You see, you never know who you might be the witness for that tips the scales. You may be the only Bible some people read. Are you portraying the right book? Are you living for God? We each and one of us come in contact with multiple people every day. And church member, I want you to know that whenever you go out those doors back there, you take this church with you because you are the church. We make a difference in people's lives by how we act and how we show our faith. Maybe you're not living like God wants you to. He's given you an opportunity to get your heart right, dedicate or rededicate your life to him and his service. Maybe God's leading you to something else. Maybe God wants you to be a part of this church here. Maybe God's calling you to preach or teach. Or the Bible tells us that He calls some to preach and some to teach, and He gives gifts to those, and He makes the church. God gives the increase. God builds the church like He wants it to be. If God's leading you here, we want you to be here. If He's leading you somewhere else, that's where we want you to be, so that you can serve God effectively. We're all wanting to please God, and we can only please Him through Jesus Christ, and then our service after that. What's the Spirit leading you to? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can. All you have to do is trust and believe. Are you serving Him faithfully? If you are, thank God. And if you're not, you can. All you have to do is give your life to Him. I don't know what your need is, but God does. I know that everyone needs to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before it's too late. And I know that we are commanded in the Word to take up our cross daily and follow Him. The question is, am I doing as good as I can? Am I doing what God wants me to do? I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, we're thankful for your Word that gives us the choice, that gives us the opportunity to accept your way, Jesus Christ, for our salvation experience. We thank you for the blood that He shed and the gift that you gave us, and that our faith can truly set us free from the bonds of this life. I thank you, Lord, for giving us in your Word this other alternative, hell, that we might truly know that we are all eternal beings, and that, Lord, the choice is ours because you've already chosen. You chose to give us this gift. Now we must choose. I pray, Lord, that each and every one that hears this sermon would choose heaven by accepting Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's those in our number hearing this sermon over the internet that you're leading to something other than salvation, Lord, we pray that your will be done in each and every life. Help us, Lord, to do better in serving you today than we did yesterday. As we give ourselves to you, use me, O Lord, as you would see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Page 194.
Have thine own way.
Hear the words of this old song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have you ever watched the potter on the potter's wheel form a piece of pottery? And as they move their hands back and forth in that bowl or cup or whatever it is to take form, and they can manipulate that clay and make it into whatever they want it to be. And this song that Brother Gene has chosen is such a beautiful picture of that God is the potter and we are the clay, and He will make us into who He wants us to be if we will just yield to His will. Are we willing to let Him have complete control? Are we willing to let God form us into the vessel that He would have us to be? Are we willing to let God make this church the church that God wants it to be? He's the potter. Mold us and make us, dear God, into the person that You would have us to be, into the church that You would have us to be, that we might more effectively serve You and lead the lost to Christ. Listen to the words of the song. And as we sing another verse, can you sing them honestly? Mold me and make me into who You would have me be as we sing. Thank you for coming our way this morning. And to our visitors, we're glad to have you and hope you'll come back and visit with us every opportunity you get. We got several folks traveling. Don't forget to pray for traveling Grace and some folks that are still sick.